Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
I know it's been a terrible week in my hometown of Kansas City, but in my new home of Phoenix, Arizona, the temperatures are in the mid-70s, and the Royals are reporting to surprise for spring training. I'm going to give you a handful of players to keep an eye on this spring, leading up to opening day on April 1st against the Rangers at the K. I was also at Surprise Stadium this weekend for a college baseball game, and I'll share that experience. It's a very heavy baseball podcast of KKHI, plus I talk about how I get the sense that COVID is wrapping up and how Major League Baseball can set the tone on getting sports back to normal and getting stadiums full.
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
All right, so last night I went to my first in-person sporting event in almost a year. I had to go back and look. I went to a Suns game in late February last year for the radio station. And then a couple weeks later, spring training canceled, NBA games canceled, and the rest is history. We don't need to go into that. So it felt kind of good. But at the same time, I felt like I wasn't supposed to be there in a way. I felt the same way flying back home to Kansas City over Christmas. Like, being in an airport, it's like, ooh, this is kind of spooky. Like, you know, society norms, everybody tells me I'm not supposed to be there. I'm not supposed to do this. I'm not supposed to do that. That's kind of how it's been the last year. And I kind of got that feeling last night watching Kansas State baseball. I went to a college baseball game, played Gonzaga in Surprise Stadium, the home of the Royals for spring training and the Texas Rangers. And every year, it's the Sanderson Ford College Baseball Classic. Oregon State hosts it. They're in it every year. They're a perennial powerhouse in college baseball. So, and K-State's played in it before. They go back every few years. And so it's fun. It gets college kids out of the cold in the Midwest and out into Arizona where they can play four games in 4 days. It's an early season tournament. It doesn't really mean anything. It's just a great way for kids at Kansas State and Gonzaga to be able to get out of the crappy weather and go play baseball. You cannot play in Kansas City or in Manhattan, Kansas right now. It's not happening. So it's fun, and a lot of the parents were there. I actually got asked which kid is mine. I was standing in line to get a hot dog, and I was wearing my mask, and I'm wearing a K-State jacket, and some lady asked me, so who's your kid? And I took my mask off and was like, and she goes, oh, she knew right away I wasn't old enough. It was just kind of funny. She felt so embarrassed, but I was like, you know, I worked for the team in college, which I did. I worked for the team that the year that K-State won the Big 12 in baseball, and that was a lot of fun and made a lot of memories doing that. And so I explained that to her and was like, you know, I haven't been to a game in over a year, so I brought my girlfriend. We live in North Phoenix. And I was like, we're going to come out and just watch a baseball game. Now, the game was pretty crappy. I will say that. The product of college baseball as a whole, it's not great. I know people are probably going crazy. A lot of people probably don't like that I said that. It's really not that good. Compared to the pro game, it's not. At all. And yes, I get it. All sports are not as good of quality as the pro game. But why is college football so popular then? It's because kids have to go to college to play football before they go to the NFL. Baseball, you don't have to do that. The best pitchers are getting drafted out of high school, especially if you're a lefty. That's just the way it is. The pitching in college baseball is not great. And that's something I was reminded of last night. I think the K-State kid, bless his heart, I think he walked like seven guys in the first three innings. It was hard to watch, and they got blasted. But it felt so good to just be at a game. And what they've done at Surprise Stadium, I know some of you maybe getting out to Arizona to come to a Royals spring training game. They have like pods. So in each row, every four seats is blocked off. So it's like four seats are open, four seats blocked off, four seats open, four seats blocked off. So if you want to sit close to the plate, this is how the ticketing model was when I bought them. You have to buy, if you want to sit in the sections from dugout to dugout, you have to at least buy four tickets because they're pods of four, and they have to all be your party. If you want to buy pods of two, you can buy the outfield seats along the first and third baseline, and then I think for the lawn, you can pretty much just buy as many as you want. But I'm just saying, if you want actual seats, that's how it has to work. So what we did, we bought the pod of two tickets, and then we ended up just going to sit behind the K-State dugout anyways because there was no guy checking tickets at the top of the stairs. You just, you know, we just walked right down and picked where we wanted to sit. It wasn't that big of a deal. It will be for the Royals. They're going to have you checking. They're going to check tickets. They're going to make sure that everybody is where they need to be for this college game, where there was maybe a couple security guards on staff and a few concession vendors working there. It wasn't much. Now, normally the teams in the college thing at Surprise Stadium get to dress and shower in the big league clubhouses for the Rangers and Royals. That's not happening this year. I don't know that for sure. I can just tell you that that's not happening. That's part of the cool experience. A lot. I know a guy, Clayton Dalrymple, one of my best friends. He played baseball at K-State. They got to play in this thing at Surprise Stadium, and he said they got to dress in the Royals locker room, and that's part of the experience. If you're a college kid, it's cool. You know, most college players will never see a big league locker room as a player. They just won't. So that was a cool experience for those guys to get to do that. That's part of the deal. It's part of the allure of playing in that tournament. But that's out. That didn't happen. So, but we had a good time. K-State got absolutely blasted. And that wasn't really what it's about for me, though. It was about getting out to the Surprise Stadium and seeing what spring training for the Royals may look like from a fan experience. Because I'll tell you what. I know I surround myself with a lot of conservative people in Arizona, especially because I'm working at a golf course. But COVID is wrapping up out here. The weather's getting really nice. Winter is over. We don't have much of a winter here. We have a little bit of one. It doesn't get that cold, obviously. It's getting into the 80s now, and people are back outside wanting to do things, wanting to go to spring training games. I think that this thing is wrapping up, and spring training for Major League Baseball has a, especially in Florida and Arizona, the two states that they're in, are very, very less COVID restrictive than other places. So there's going to be fans in Florida and Arizona. They're going to do 25%, at least from what I saw from the Royals. I think they're going to cap it at 25% capacity, which at Surprise Stadium is probably 3,000 people. I don't know for sure. I'd have to look that up. But so there will be a fan presence at spring training, and I just get the feeling all the old people in Arizona are getting the vaccine. State Farm Stadium, where the Cardinals play right now, is an absolute machine of a drive-through vaccination station, if you will. I drove by it the other day, and I could not believe the amount of cars I saw waiting in line to get that COVID vaccine. So it's getting cranked out here left and right. A lot of the senior citizens in the state are, once they're getting those vaccines, they're getting less and less worried about it. So we could be getting back to normal pretty quickly. I don't talk about it anymore. If somebody talks about COVID, I zone the F out. I am done talking about it. I am literally done talking about COVID. It is all but wrapped in my mind. I'm still wearing the mask, obviously, because it's the societal norm to do when you're going to a grocery store or going somewhere. But it just makes no sense to me. I walked into a sports bar in Surprise before the K-State baseball game yesterday to sit down, have a beer with my girlfriend before the game. We got an appetizer, and you have to have the mask on to walk literally from the door 10 feet to your bar stool, and then when you sit down, you can take it off. That has never made any sense. It is the stupidest thing ever. And I just thought about it last night, like, oh my God, are we really still having to do this? Is this really a thing where once I'm at my table, I could take my mask off? But God dang, if you get up to go to the bathroom or walk somewhere else, you better have that thing on. It is absolutely stupid. We have so many people, so many golf courses have been thriving, but so many people have mismanaged COVID protocols for things that just make absolutely no sense. I've talked about it with doctors at my club. They tried to put these dividers up in the golf carts. So the person sitting next to you, there's a plastic divider that does literally nothing. There's still spaces from it. You're still technically within 6 feet of them. It does nothing. I've had doctors go to our GM and explain to them in written form, in fact, how stupid that is and how it makes zero sense why when you're sitting in a cart, when you have that divider in a golf cart, you can't talk to the person next to you because you can't hear them because of a plastic divider. I've had doctors at our club literally explain to our general manager with factual evidence that does absolutely nothing, and they still ignored it. I mean, the cover-ups, like so many people in businesses have tried to implement stupid policies to try to please all the liberal decision makers that have come down on society to come up with new societal norms, whether it's masks, all kinds of stuff, protocols, that you've had to do it. You've had to do stupid stuff that makes no sense because the left wants control. And that's what it comes down to. I know my dad's talked about it a bunch of times, but that's what it's come down to. When I was at that baseball game last night, I saw a good amount of people that were wearing masks, walking up and down the aisles, walking in the concourse. But then when they got to their seats with their families, those were coming off. So I think that's kind of one of the things you could expect to see. Now, I'd imagine during a big league game this year, ushers will come up to you like they did to Trey Songz at the Chiefs game and tell you to put it back on if they see you without it. I don't know. So Major League Baseball has a great opportunity to sort of carry on how good the NFL was in handling COVID and really taking off with that. I mean, the NBA, I don't know what they're going to do. They're starting to let a few fans in, but that to me just that the NBA is so far left that I don't think that's a good model to look at. Look at what Major League Baseball can do this season is really get sports back on track. It's going to be summertime. It's going to be warm in these cities where it's cold right now. People are going to want to get outside and go to games. And I think as the weeks go on, ballparks are going to gradually start letting more and more fans in. So it should be fun. I hope to see a lot of people wearing blue and surprise for the Royals this year. It'd be cool. Kansas City people came out and wanted to catch a few games. The spring training games this year are going to be different. They are going to have like manager agreements before the games where they may do shortened game. They may, and what most people don't realize is because you never see the minor league spring training games, the managers control those games. They, let's say a kid is getting shelled out there and he walks a guy, but there's two outs. The manager sometimes will decide to just end the inning and move on just to get the game moving. So you're going to see stuff like that in the big league games this year as well. You might see some managers coming together to agree, hey, you know, let's end this inning, let's get this thing going. Or, hey, you know, we've got a long bus ride back to the other side of town to where tomorrow where we have a doubleheader. Let's just make this game a 5-inning game today. You could see stuff like that. So it'll be a little different, but it'll still be fun to get out and see your players. Some of your favorite players. So what I've decided to do today is with the Royals arriving in surprise for spring training, I've decided to highlight a few things that I think you should keep your eye on in spring training and throughout the early part of the year as well. And I might add to this next week as well. I might keep coming up with things. But these things that you're going to hear from me today, I think are absolute key to the Royals having success this year. And success for the Royals this year may not even mean a playoff berth. It may mean a 500 season, which I think would be the step in the right direction. You just want to see improvement, obviously. So these things that I'm going to mention are what I think could be key. Number one is the pitching rotation. This is obviously important. The Royals could definitely flirt with the idea of a 6-man rotation now that they have veteran Irvin Santana. Some other teams have talked about doing this. Now, there's only a few teams that can do this. The one thing, you can't have a clear-cut ace or a guy that you've paid a bunch of money to be your number one starter. You can't do that, and I don't think the Royals necessarily have a clear-cut ace. You'd think it would be Brad Keller to be the opening day starter, maybe Brady Singer. I don't know, but they don't really have that veteran ace that's Mr. Reliable, that's had, you know, all-star seasons, blah, 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 big contract. They don't have that. So they can easily do a 6-man rotation. We've seen a lot of managers in baseball talk about this and flirt with this idea. I don't know how much I like it, but it's something we could see early on in the season, especially to get some guys some innings. Like, if Ervin Santana's not in the rotation, what's he going to do? He's not coming out of the bullpen. So that's the Royals have a good problem here, I think, where they need to figure out their five-man rotation. I'm not sure so much anymore about Danny Duffy, kind of over him. I've given him the benefit of the doubt over the years far too many times, but now that I'm older, I'm starting to see just kind of what a headache he kind of has been on and off the field. So I don't know if I'm here for Danny Duffy much more, but he's going to be in the rotation. And then Mike Minor, I like the veteran arm. Chris Bubik, Brady Singer, Brad Keller. I think that's your five man right there. I don't know if Ervin Santana is what he was, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he comes out and proves himself and deserves to get into the rotation, but they could flirt with a six-man rotation. It's just an idea. We'll have to just wait and see how that works. All right, Daniel Lynch, left-handed pitcher. Unfortunately, like a lot of minor league guys, he hasn't played in a game since the 2019 Arizona Fall League. He would have likely been in Double-A in 2020, maybe even Triple-A. You see a lot of times pitchers make the jump straight from Double-A to the big leagues. Triple-A is sort of an unnecessary step for a lot of pitchers, especially if you know what they've got and they've got live arms. You'd rather just throw them into the big leagues rather than have them just go get absolutely shelled in Triple-A, which is what happens. Triple-A is a slugfest at the plate. That's what it is. And I like him. Everyone thinks he's big league ready. It's going to be hard to believe considering he hasn't played a real game in over a year, but he's got great stuff and he's a lefty, and the Royals could use his arm in the rotation or out of the bullpen. I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see what they do. He was drafted in the first round of the 2018 draft out of Virginia. He's 24 years old, so his clock is really good for a college pitcher. So he was only there for 3 years, but his age clock is great for a college pitcher. A lot of college pitchers you don't see even sniffing the big leagues till 26 or 27. He's 24 and sniffing it. So we'll have to wait and see what they decide to do there. And if he has a good spring training, let's get this guy in Kansas City. I mean, he's probably their top rated pitching prospect, and he's a guy that I'd like to see. Another guy, Jackson Kowar, drafted in the same draft. I think those picks were back-to-back in 2018. And same draft as Daniel Lynch. He went to Florida, not quite as high on the Royals and media outlets prospect rankings list as Daniel Lynch, but they're the same age. And he still, Baseball America still has Kowar a top 100 prospect. So he's a good pitcher. These are the kinds of guys that the Royals have coming up that are going to open the window for this team again, if you will. You know, everyone talks about each team's window. These are the guys that are going to make this thing happen. The guys that you've already got on the big league club with Brady Singer, Brad Keller, and then adding some of these younger guys as well. They're the ones that are going to make this thing happen. I've really got my eye on Carlos Santana. I found this interesting. I came across this. He set the Indians' all-time record for home runs and RBIs for a switch hitter. That's pretty impressive. They've had some good switch hitters roll through Cleveland, and that's awesome. I don't think he needs to be the 2019 All-Star, 34 home run, 93 RBI guy that we saw from him. He doesn't need to be that good, but he can't sit in the middle of the Royals lineup and just be an out. Like, he's got to be productive. He's got to find some sort of productivity. Last year in the shortened season, he played in all 60 games, but he hit like 199. And that can't happen in the Royals' first 60 games this year. That can't happen throughout the season. He'll be benched, or he'll be moved to DH, maybe have some of his playing time limited. I don't know. They might just play him at DH anyways. The Royals have some options for first base as to who they can play there. So You've got O'Hearn, you've got Hunter Dozier, you've got a lot of guys who can play first base. So it's not signing him with the necessity of him having to play first base every night. That's not the case here. But you'd like to see him productive because he's a big hitter. He's got power. He will be somewhere in the middle of the lineup for the Royals. So he's got to be productive. He doesn't have to be 2019 great. He's just got to be able to be a guy the Royals can rely on to drive some runs in. So Andrew Benintendi, of course, he signed through this season. But I imagine if he performs like we all think he will, the Royals will offer him his first big contract. He's got over 4 years service time, so he could get... Yeah, he could get money through arbitration in 2022, but I think it's more likely the Royals just sign him. You know, 4 years, 40 mil, something like that, if he performs. He's going to have that spotlight on him for sure for two reasons. One, he's playing left field. Alex Gordon's been in left field for the past decade for the Royals, and he's been the best defensive left fielder in Major League Baseball for the last decade. There's some shoes to fill there. So that there's going to be a spotlight on that just for that reason alone. And obviously the second reason is when you're the product of a trade in which your club has given up prospects that they, you know, Khalil Lee and Frenchy Carrera, these are guys that they think could have been vital to the Royals that are going to be vital elsewhere. So there's always going to be the what if Benintendi doesn't live up to his potential. And let's say Khalil Lee goes out and becomes an awesome pitcher for the Mets, and Cordero becomes awesome for the Red Sox. Like, you're always going to look at that and be like, wow, those guys are all-stars, and the Royals got Benintendi for them. That happens. You're going to miss on some trades, but I'm not saying that's going to happen here. I don't think it's going to happen here, actually. I love Andrew Benintendi. I think he's awesome. I really do. So I'm excited for that, just to see what he can do coming off an injury. How he can be serviceable to this team. He's fast. He's got wheels. He can steal bases. And he'll probably, I don't know if he'll bat leadoff, but he'll probably be one or two in the order. You know, maybe they decide to go Witt. Maybe they decide to put Witt in the middle of the lineup. There's some good possibilities. The Royals lineup will be a lot of fun to watch this year, just for one, to see where everybody's going to hit. Like to see where Matheny's going to put everybody. It may not be consistent. I don't know. I think when Whit Merrifield is the, you know, reigning hits leader when he was in 2019, I think that you've got to put a guy like that hitting first, get him more at bats. When you hit first, you know, mathematics kicks in, you're going to get to the plate more. So I don't see any reason to change that. But it's a great lineup. I think the Royals have a top half lineup in Major League Baseball. It's probably close to top 10. Last thing I think deserves an eye, obviously, because he's Salvador Perez, and he's already accomplished so much for the Royals, and no matter what he does on the field this year, it won't land him in a bad spot in the minds of Royals fans. He's won a World Series. He's been great. He's been a great catcher. He's been a great guy in the community. Everybody loves Salvi. Just a great guy. He's set to make $14 million this year, and he's a free agent in the offseason. It's hard to even imagine the Royals not wanting to bring back Salvi to end his career in Kansas City, similar to like what they did to Alex Gordon. They gave him a deal to where it was pretty much a guarantee that he was going to retire a Royal. They could do that with Salvador Perez as well. The catcher spot gets a little interesting because if you can't play every day as a catcher at some point in your career, you just don't have... They don't have space for you on the roster. You can be an outfielder that plays, you know, twice a week maybe or once a week, and you can still be on a big league roster. That's not the case with a veteran catcher who would be making a ton of money. You just can't afford to have a guy like that on your team. So Salvi turns 31 this year, and if his production's great again, I think the Royals could sign him to another short-term deal to maybe make sure he retires a Royal, and I think that would be great. So that's something to keep an eye on. Salvador Perez in a free agent year, just to see if he is still Salvador Perez, the one we all know and love who's been great, and if the Royals could use him for another few years. Because if he goes out and tanks this year, and he's wanting another fairly large deal as an aging veteran catcher who isn't as good as he used to be, it's not going to be in Kansas City. I just don't see that happening. So hopefully he performs well and the Royals can find a reason to give him another deal and let him retire in Kansas City as the hero that he is, the World Series hero that he is. So that's something to keep an eye on as well. It's getting there, guys. This thing could be fun to watch this year, win or lose. They're going to be in a lot of entertaining games, and they're going to have a lot of young guys playing, and they're going to be fun. I cannot wait. That's going to do it for this week's weekend's edition of Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. I'm Spencer Keatsman. Thanks for listening, guys. And we'll have some more stuff on the Royals next week, and I'm pretty sure Dad and I are going to do a podcast together at some point this week. And he's coming down in March, so I think him and I are going to go to a spring training game together. We haven't decided where we're going to go. It's definitely going to be a Royals game, but it'll be fun just to get to a live game with Dad and Jessica, and we'll probably bring my girlfriend as well. It'll be fun. It'll just be fun family time watching a baseball game outside in some beautiful weather. So thanks for tuning in. Be sure to tune in to Dad all week. He's got a lot of good stuff coming up, and you'll hear from me soon.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.